Hello, this is Martin Mortelli, Director of Research with Glass Lewis. Today, I'll be chatting with senior analysts Eva Baez and Francisca Caola Vicente by way of our 2019 Latin American season preview. Over the course of the next 15 minutes or so, we'll be getting into what exactly went on at Brazil's 2018 AGMs and looking at the practical impacts of the recently implemented distance voting legislation there. We'll also discuss the latest and most significant updates from across Latin America. First up, Fran, can you give us an overview of the state of proxy voting in Brazil?
Hi, Martin. And yes, I can. With 2018 bringing about distance voting to all issuers listed on the Novo Mercado and on Level 2 alike, the listing segments imposing the most stringent corporate governance practices, we were eagerly anticipating that shareholders voting by proxy would have a greater practical impact on meeting outcomes, specifically on topics as relevant and significant as executive remuneration, the election of directors, as well as, not surprisingly, and as analyzed in our 2018 season review, the requests to establish supervisory councils. Conversely, we did and still do recognize that proxy voting in Brazil is still in its very early stages, with issuers, regulators, and market participants on a learning curve together.
What were the most interesting procedural takeaways from last year's proxy season?
Well, we had the opportunity to take stock, no pun intended, of 2018's meetings directly with the department responsible for managing issuer development at B3, the São Paulo Stock Exchange. This discussion proved to be rather enlightening, providing us with a much welcome practical perspective on what does, in fact, go on at meetings, as well as the impact and results of the recent implementation of remote voting in Brazil. Additionally, B3 were kind enough to share with us data gathered from the 2018 and 2017 proxy season, allowing for further insights into the reality of Brazilian shareholders' meetings. Similarly to 2017, the majority of Brazilian issuers, 72%, held their meetings in a very condensed timeframe during the last week of April. In addition, the average quorum required for meetings to be installed didn't differ significantly from 2017 to 2018, with an increase of only 1%. On the other hand, from 2016, where remote voting had yet to be mandatory, to 2017, where Instruction 561 was first applied, there was a surge in the average installation quorum by 6%. Also, and similarly to last year, it's interesting to note that distance voting was concentrated in just a few custodians, with one custodian having dealt with 99% of all proxy cards. Further, last year, from the 93 companies required to make distance voting possible to their shareholders since 2017, 89% of those distance votes were sent to B3 through custodians, a significant increase when compared to 2017, where only 65% of distance votes were sent using this method. 93% of the companies required to make use of distance voting last year made proxy forms available to the market, with 64% of those same companies having received votes cast via proxy cards.
Did you observe any relationship between an issuer's free float and proxy votes received?
We did actually, Martin. There was a clear trend between companies that received the highest number of distance votes and those with the greater number of investors and the highest percentage of free float.
Some illustrative examples from the information provided by B3 are, for example, for companies with 25% average free float, 108 of these companies receive remote votes. For companies with a 58% average free float, we saw that over 300 companies receive remote votes. The 30 companies that received the largest number of remote votes had a total average free float of 52.3%. Another revealing examples further supporting the direct correlation between companies' free float and the use of distant voting would be, for example, in TOTS, 59.83% of the free float shares cast their votes via proxy card. And in Cirela, 45.39% of free float shares cast their votes through these means. Also worthy of mention is the fact that almost 80% of shareholders cast their votes via proxy card in up to 10 different shareholders' meetings. The majority of these shareholders, almost 99%, were foreign investors. Remote voting process was used mainly by institutional investors, which up until 2017 had a difficult time exercising their voting rights.
Further, and on our part, it's exciting to note that distance voting representation increased considerably. 51% of minority shareholders' votes cast at 2018 meetings used this method versus 40% in 2017. Conversely, there was regrettably no change from last year in the percentage of shareholders that did not exercise their voting rights. 44% continued to not have a say at meetings of the companies in which they invested in. We note that in this case, the sample used looked at the group of 93 issuers that had been required to provide for distance voting since 2017.
What can you tell us in terms of the practicalities of distance voting and the effect its implementation had in shareholders exercising their voting rights?
Well, as noted in our 2018 season review, shareholders voting remotely have had the opportunity to cast votes on more matters than ever before. Nevertheless, procedural inconsistencies and disclosure mishaps continue to alienate those voting by proxy.
In fact, from the data gathered by B3, we were surprised to learn that shareholders voting by proxy who did not support companies' remuneration policies saw, in 97% of the cases, those same policies being approved notwithstanding.
Correspondingly and regrettably, proxy voting also had little to no impact on the outcome of the election of directors. From 165 companies that held board elections, 20 saw proxy votes cast against their proposed candidates. However, those same 165 companies had their boards approved. From a more procedural perspective, it's interesting to note that out of the same pool of companies, 98 held their elections through slates, another 63 held their elections individually, a welcome surge within the Brazilian market, with a mere 4 companies appointing their board members via the cumulative voting process. Unfortunately, cumulative voting in Brazil seems to be a solution in search of a problem. Voting on each director individually could present the same benefits while simplifying the procedure.
What's your view on this relatively complex voting method? Does it have the potential to further disenfranchise those voting by proxy?
In practice, we support the adoption of this voting method since it allows holding individual board members accountable as opposed to slate elections. However, not only can it be requested up to 48 hours before the meeting, providing little practical benefit to those who are not planning to attend it in person, but given the potential for shareholders' votes on cumulative voting to be disregarded if the election is held as a slate, we will, in general, not recommend that shareholders support the request to adopt this voting method when companies do not disclose well in advance of the meeting if it'll be implemented.
On the other hand, if shareholders abstain from the voting options related to this election method, where cumulative voting is, in fact, adopted, there is a risk that a company's board of directors or supervisory council may be elected by a small percentage of shareholders, given that shareholders' votes cast towards a different election procedure will be disregarded. However, we recognize that most shareholders voting by proxy will not meet the minimum cumulative voting ownership threshold, which is 5% of a company's outstanding share capital, for the vote to count.
Another interesting takeaway from the 2018 data gathered by B3 is the fact that the proxy card's mandatory cumulative voting related proposals did not result in a proportional increase in the implementation of this selection method. Out of 104 companies who included the request for cumulative voting within their proxy cards, 90 of said requests were rejected. Last season showed us that shareholders voting by proxy continue to face serious obstacles to participating in board elections when information is not made available with enough time before the meeting date. Where information regarding a proposal to elect directors or to adopt cumulative voting has not been made available 21 days prior to the meeting date, in Brazil, updated proxy cards may be resubmitted up to 20 days before the meeting. In many cases, those voting by proxy will not have the opportunity to cast informed votes on board elections.
Last year was also the first time that Brazilian companies put forward proposals to establish supervisory councils.
Yes. When we reviewed last season's vote results, we were particularly curious to see how the request to establish a supervisory council would pan out. This council can be a useful tool for ensuring proper oversight of companies' accounting and financial reporting, and remote shareholders seem to agree, as 92% of the requests to approve the establishment of this council were passed. Ideally, if enough quorum was achieved for its implementation, the company should have proceeded with the pertinent steps to provide and request candidates for shareholders to vote on. Or at least that is what we hope for. However, as it turned out, this did not fare too well from a remote voting outlook. As we analyzed in our 2018 season review, while most shareholders opt to support the Supervisory Council's installation, those votes proved in many cases to be unfruitful. While very few companies anticipated that shareholders would vote in favor to establish the council, having included the names of potential nominees on the proxy form, and thus allowing for shareholders voting remotely to decide not only on the council's establishment, but also on the appointment of its respective members, most unfortunately did not anticipate this. In the majority of cases, either the council wasn't established despite shareholder support, with no nominees to sit on it, or it was established with candidates being proposed at the meeting, declining those voting by proxy to have a say in the election of the council.
Accordingly, we have recently updated our policy on this issue and will not recommend that shareholders support the formation of a separate supervisory council unless the proposed members have been disclosed and represent a sufficiently diverse perspective to add value for all shareholders.
Lastly, are there any other regional developments we should be aware of?
We have seen that the Brazilian market, in spite of all its flaws, is nevertheless moving forward, trying to implement changes aimed at impacting remote shareholders in the most positive way. In the rest of Latin America, however, changes are taking much longer. With a heavy concentration of controlled companies, minority shareholders are yet to become looked after participants. The different markets are rather focusing in other matters they feel are more pressing, such as the recent launching of the Viva stock exchange in Mexico, for example, or Colombia's entry in the OECD. In spite of this, small advances are being made. The most recent, Argentina's establishment of BIMAN's stock exchange corporate governance panel, which will include two different levels, one for companies with common shares and one vote per share, and the other one for the rest. Any Argentinian public company voluntarily deciding to adhere to this panel will have to comply with the newly presented governance regulations, which are aligned with the corporate governance principles of the OECD. At the moment, some of the biggest companies in the country have already declared their adherence to the panel, so we're looking forward to seeing the practical effects in the near future.
Eva, Fran, thank you both very much.
This recording should not be considered a solicitation of proxies by Glass Lewis. Glass Lewis has not sought permission to do so from the SEC, nor will it. This recording is for information purposes only and should not be construed as providing investment advice. In addition, Glass Lewis makes no representation regarding the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of any statement of any of our speakers in this recording. If you have any questions, please contact us via our website, www.glasslewis.com.